Back in On The Drive, coming up in 30 minutes. I think you'll want to listen to this. We're going to try something a little bit different with Neil Smith since the Chiefs are playing the Cardinals this week. And what might be the frozen tundra of Arrowhead Stadium? We actually found on YouTube an old Derek Thomas interview talking to Leslie Visser about Neil Smith. We are going to play it for Neil. Maybe he's never even heard this before. We're going to play it for him coming up at 3:30 and just kind of get his reaction. I'm very curious to hear what he has to say about the interview that we dug up today. We're also going to talk about Chris Webber was on the Dan Patrick Show and said something really interesting about the future of college basketball and kind of where it is today. We'll talk about that coming up in just a bit. And again, Neil Smith will be in studio in just a bit. Today's pop quiz, the winner got a 4-pack of tickets to the World War I Museum. It's also brought to you by Victory Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. 8 Mile was released today back in 2002. Fanning's favorite movie, 8 Mile.
I've never seen it. It's one of those that I want to see, and I just have never seen it.
I've probably seen 8 Mile like 50 times.
Is that good? All right, so I'm in. I'll watch it.
Yeah, it's always on VH1. You know how TNT always shows Forrest Gump and Shawshank Redemption?
Yeah, that's the one.
Don't watch the VH1 version.
No, yeah, you got to watch the real one, but yeah. I've seen it regular all the time, and then I always stop and watch it whenever it is on 8 Mile.
Like last night, The Departed was on, I think, on like TNT, and I started to watch it. I'm like, well, you can't watch it on TNT. Like, you know, all the language and all that other stuff is taken out of it. Real quick before we move on, you got the World War I museum tickets, right? That's what we gave away for that. Tracy and I took the boys down on Monday night. You know, and you've only got a couple of more days to do this, which is Armistice Day on November 11th, because at 11 a.m. on November 11th, 1918, 100 years ago, that was the end of World War I. And so what they do, they've got this really cool, I don't exactly know how to explain it, but it's this projector where they light up the memorial in poppies, because they used to plant the poppies all over the battlefield, and the poppy is the flower of World War I. And then they put these videos up on the giant wall at the Liberty Memorial every 30 minutes with all these, you know, terrific and tragic pictures of that war, and it really educates you about, you know, what exactly went down. I mean, it was 100 years ago, you know, and over 10 million people died in that war, and it's not one that we talk about a whole bunch. So if you get a chance, you got, what, 3 more days to do it, to go down there at night, and you can see this really, really cool video and light show at the Liberty Memorial.
I was wondering this today because I'll admit to you guys, I ain't really that excited for this game. I think it's fun to watch the Chiefs. I think they're going to score a lot of points, but I think it's hard when you look at the schedule and you see the games that they have remaining to really get up for this game as a fan. They got the Rams coming up. To be honest with you, I'm ready to start talking about the Rams now. Spectre's like, hey, let's wait till next Tuesday. I'm ready to start talking Chiefs and Rams right now if you guys are ready to start talking about it. They got at Oakland once they come off the bye, a divisional team on the road. Then they play a potential playoff team in Baltimore, a home game against the Chargers, which could decide the AFC West, a really big game at Seattle, maybe the most difficult place to play in the NFL, certainly going to be a difficult test. And then you end the season with a home game against Oakland, which may decide if you get the 1 seed or the 2 seed. This game's just very, very black to me. But then I'm on StubHub, and I'm just kind of messing around here. Sometimes I like to use StubHub as a gauge to just supply and demand. What are people buying? Because I think that's a good gauge for do people want to go. I'm sitting here and I'm on StubHub, and the cheapest ticket for Cardinals and Chiefs is $75. I can't imagine spending $75 to sit up in 311 row FF to watch Arizona, Kansas City. I'd much rather watch that game at home, which got me thinking, am I off in this? Is there a lot of buzz? Is there a lot of juice for this? Are you guys going to your workplace and you're like, man, you know what? I can't wait to go to the game this week to watch the Chiefs play the Arizona Cardinals. Is it the Mahomes factor? Is it seeing Mahomes maybe break Lynn Dawson's record in person? I don't know what it is, but this seems like a $30 get-in to me. This seems like a $40 get-in to me to watch this game, knowing you got much bigger home games remaining on the schedule. $75 right now is the cheapest ticket on StubHub to watch the worst team in the NFL come into town?
That should tell you something about Mahomes and the Chiefs right now, right? And I think that's part of it. I don't think everybody has seen the guy in person yet. You know, you and I, it's Beck, and everybody around here, man, that's all we do. It's what we live. We watch the Chiefs, and we focus on Mahomes. We watch football. We do all that stuff. That's not really the way it works for everybody else. I think if this is your best chance to go see Patrick Mahomes against a crummy Cardinals team, you're going to do it. I mean, it's kind of like in preseason games. Some people that can't afford to go to a regular season game, they're going to go to, you know, they're going to Go to a preseason game.
Yeah, you're right. But I mean,
is this the cheapest buy-in though at a home game? Would you agree?
But with preseason games, man, we give those tickets away. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, but I mean, you pay attention. Is this the cheapest buy-in of the year?
I mean, this is really on par with what it's been all season. It's been about $70-$80. I mean, Sunday Night Football was a little bit cheaper than this, the Bengals game. But, man, $80 at a minimum ticket. I mean, $160 gets you a pair. And I'm not talking a good pair. I'm not talking about sitting behind the field goal post. I'm talking about up next to the lights. I'm talking about up next to the Jumbotron. I just can't imagine spending that to watch this football game. This game has absolutely no juice, no buzz to me. But, again, I think supply and demand and good old American economics normally tell you the story. The ticket prices suggest you guys are really into this. You guys really care about this game. You really want to be at this game. $80 a ticket tells me that the buzz is high for this game.
You think it's about breaking Lenny's record? I mean, it really hasn't been on my radar a ton this week. But, I mean, a 54-year-old record is about to be broken. You know, Len Dawson threw, I believe it was 1964 when Len Dawson threw for 30 touchdowns. And that record has stood until probably Sunday. I'm going to go ahead and assume that Mahomes is going to have two touchdown passes in that game, get to 30 and 31.
I think he's going to throw two touchdown passes.
Maybe that's it.
Probably on their first two possessions.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, maybe that's it. I don't know. I mean, I haven't heard a tremendous amount of buzz for that record, at least when I'm out in public. I mean, nobody's talking about that to me. That is a little bit surprising. I mean, this is a game, if you didn't tell me that, I would say that those seats that you're talking about right now, there'd be some empty ones up there. I mean, it's supposed to be kind of cold. You know, it's supposed to be like record lows on Saturday. I don't know what the weather's supposed to be like on Sunday, but it's going to be chilly. It's snowing outside right now. And you're telling me $80 for nosebleeds for that game against maybe the worst team in football? Man, the Chiefs are doing something right, and it starts with Mahomes.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's absolutely what it is. And then the text line brings up the point, you got to factor in parking at that point. Make me $200 to go to this Chiefs game. I personally just cannot imagine spending that much money to watch this game. I just thought of this. I want to play this for you. This is what Bob Sutton had to say earlier about Justin Houston. I'll tell you why coming up in just a bit.
Hopefully he'll pick up right where he left off. I mean, of all the guys coming, you know, Dan's coming back from a little longer thing. We haven't got EB back, but Justin was our most recent, you know, guy that this how Justin's played not too long ago. So I think he has a I think we have a better feeling that he's going to be close to where he was. You know, we won't know till we see him out there and see how he does all the things when it's totally full speed. You know, you go hard in practice, but you know, you probably still don't have quite those little bursts and reactions that you have in a ball game. You know, but I think he's going to be fine. He says he feels really good, and hopefully we'll get him back because he was playing really good football. You know, and that would be a great addition for us here.
Speck, I want you in on this because I think you are in the same boat as a lot of Chiefs fans are when it comes to this. I think there is a fear among Chiefs fans in signing defensive players to second contracts.
There should be.
This is maybe why I disagree. It's worked multiple times with the Chiefs. Like, we can find examples of it working. I mean, at some point, they paid Tamba Hali. You remember, $55 million. It was a five-year, $55 million deal. At some point, they paid Derek Johnson big money. That contract ended up working out for you. They paid Brandon Flowers at some point. I would say that contract ended up working out for the Kansas City Chiefs. Man, sometimes you do the right thing and it just doesn't work. I'll never fault them for signing Eric Berry. They signed a great player to a contract. He just got injured. It sucks, but I'll never fault you for it. They signed Justin Houston after he had 22 sacks. No one could have predicted that his body was just going to start to break down at that point. I don't really think that the fear of signing or what happened with Eric Berry and Justin Houston should really stop you moving ahead if there's a player that you want to end up signing long-term. That doesn't stop me from wanting them to sign Chris Jones if I think Chris Jones is a really good player. That doesn't stop me from wanting them to sign Kendall Fuller if I think that. But I think a lot of Chiefs fans are gun-shy about giving defensive players that kind of money because Eric Berry and Justin Houston didn't work out, even though at the time everybody agrees that both of those guys deserve to get big contracts.
Yeah, I don't think it's about being gun-shy about giving the contracts out. I think the biggest issue I had is that they could have signed them earlier and save a lot of money and put that towards different positions. That's the biggest thing. They lost when John Dorsey waited so long on Justin Houston, it cost the Chiefs a ton of money. Then he got hurt. It cost a year. Then he got hurt. It cost him a lot of money. Same with Eric Berry. That's the only issue that I have because I'm on board with. If you fully believe that he's going to be the dude, then you pay him early because you get a better deal and you get his prime years and you get him younger.
But this is maybe why I am on, I don't know if I'm on the Chiefs side in this one. That sounds very weird to say. What people suggest to do with Dee Ford is exactly what happened with Justin Houston. Go back and look at it. It was before the 22 sack season. People weren't sure about Justin Houston and wanted him to prove it. He then went out there and put together one of the 10 best outside linebacker seasons in the history of the NFL, and then the Chiefs were forced to pay him. You think this. A lot of people think this. I'm not even singling you out on this. Man, make Dee Ford go out there and prove it again. Let's see what happens.
But the difference between those two guys, Justin Houston was better.
I know, but hold on.
But before Dee Ford.
So I'm saying is, if Dee Ford goes out there and has 13 sacks this season, and then you say, tag him, prove it again.
Yeah.
He then goes out there and has 17 sacks. You'll then say, pay Dee Ford in that scenario. That's the exact same thing Kansas City did with Justin Houston. He just got hurt after that.
Yeah, but Justin Houston was just better over the first few years. I would have paid Justin Houston early rather than later. I wouldn't have franchise tagged him. Dee Ford, again, going back to the crazy girlfriend analogy. She's nuts for 3.5 years. You get 6 good months of her, and she wants to get married. What do you do? I'm not putting a ring on it. Dee Ford had his opportunity over the first 4 years of his career to earn a long-term contract, and he was inconsistent at best. Justin Houston was much better than him. You know, I'm on board with paying Tyreek Hill right now. I know how good he is. I'm glad the Chiefs went out and paid Travis Kelce when they did. Dee Ford, I don't trust. I don't trust him to continually do it. And again, if you feel like you have those dudes, guys like Tyreek and Travis Kelce and players like that, I think they should have paid it. I mean, Eric Berry's a little bit different because you had to factor the cancer into that whole thing. But Justin Houston, I think they should have paid him early instead of later. Then you would have had a healthier Justin Houston on this deal. Speck, where do you sit on that?
You say you would have had a healthier Justin Houston. I mean, you really only would have had a healthier Justin Houston back in 2014. I don't know how much that really does you now. And I'm with you. It would have been cheaper. Now, that certainly would have changed the franchise tag in this one.
Yeah.
But, I mean, since he signed the contract, Justin Houston just has been hurt. Like, he hasn't played 16 games since then. He's just been a very inconsistent, and he's just been an unhealthy player since then. I just look at the history of the Chiefs, and I'm not saying there's no reason to have any hesitancy sort towards signing guys long term, and that's just the nature of the beast. At some point, you had that question about Tamba Hali, you paid him and ended up working out. At some point, you had that question about Derrick Johnson, you ended up paying him, ended up working out. Man, sometimes when you sign guys in free agency, it's just a dice roll, especially in the NFL with how the injuries are. It's not like you sign a guy and he's going to be healthy for the next 10 years. You know this is a risk when you sign a player big time money in the NFL.
That's why I think you pay him early if you're sure about him, which I'm pretty sure the Chiefs were sure about Justin Houston and they waited and bit him.
Coming up in just a bit, we'll get to Neil Smith, who will join us in studio. But Chris Weber said something really interesting on the Dan Patrick Show about college basketball, the future of it, and how it currently is. We'll get into it coming up. It's The Drive. Back in on The Drive, coming up in just a bit, Neil Smith will join us in studio. We'll talk to the Chiefs Hall of Famer. He is also in the Chiefs Ring of Honor. We'll talk to him coming up in just a bit. Fanning, I want to ask you a question here about Dee Ford, because I don't think you've ever answered this question. I'm just very curious on where you stand when it comes to Dee Ford. You are big on the side of Dee Ford has to prove it to you. You've seen him put together a good half season, but he's never put together a full year.
Yeah.
If Dee Ford puts together a good second half of the season, what does that mean to you? Because I personally believe I'm not paying Dee Ford long-term under a lot of circumstances. I'm happy to sign a team-friendly, very incentive-laden deal, but I don't think that an NFL player is going to sign that. I think we see now we are in the give-me-my-money era when it comes to the NFL, so you want your money up front in cash, and I'm not going to blame you. I'm not that interested in signing Dee Ford long-term. I would franchise tag him this one season, and regardless of what he does next season, he could go out there and then magically turn into Lawrence Taylor next year. I don't want you next year on a long-term deal. I would just let you go, and I could live with the consequences either way. You're big on the, I want to see him prove it for a full season. What does that mean in your mind?
Well, that will let me decide if I'm going to franchise tag him, because I'm with you. I'm not paying him long-term either.
So I'm saying is, I guess maybe my question is this. Let's say that Dee Ford gets hurt right now and can't play for the rest of the season. What do you do? Because I would franchise tag him regardless of what happens the rest of the season.
Yeah. You get a third-round pick if he walks. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, if he signs a high enough draft.
If he signs
a high enough free agent contract. I mean, the third round is the highest that it can be. It can be less than that.
Yeah, that's a tough one, man, because Dee Ford has had back injuries 3 times, right? He's been injured. He's been inconsistent. You know, somehow, magically, Dee Ford has been able to play through some minor injuries this year that he wasn't able to do the first 4 years of his contract. You know, but again, magically, it's a contract year for him, and he's able to fight through that stuff and do that. I'm leery of those guys. I'm leery of those guys that only play hard or only have great seasons when it's a contract year. That bothers me a little bit. So the most I would do, I'm with you. I franchise tag him and let him walk. You know, I would do the exact same thing that you do, that you're saying, because if you franchise tag him, he goes out there and gets you 22 sacks, then you're going to be stuck having to do what you did with Justin Houston when you waited too long to pay him in the first place. If he's consistent over the course of this year, I franchise tag him and then I let him go.
So if he's inconsistent the rest of the season, you would not franchise him.
That's a tough decision to make, truthfully. And it depends where Breland Speaks is, it depends where Tano Passanio is, and it also depends what the Chiefs plan to do with Justin Houston. I mean, all those things factor into what I would do with D Ford.
I would franchise tag D Ford regardless of what happens the rest of the season. I think he's earned that. And I just don't think, at least for next season, you can let him walk. I would use another year of him, give him that guaranteed money, that 1 year around $15 million contract, and then I would walk away at the end of the 2019 season. Chris Weber was on the Dan Patrick Show, and he said something really interesting about the change college basketball has gone over the last 10 to 15 years.
Our class can't be compared with any other freshman class, period.
Why?
Period. There's no Christian Laettner in college. No Bobby Hurley in college. You name me one 4-year player that's going top five in the NBA.
No.
Okay. Thank you. Because the year that I played them, you know who was the first pick? It was Shaq. Then the second pick, I think it was Christian Laettner. Then the third pick, it was Alonzo Mourning. Okay. come on. Like, and I'm not talking about them. I know people are gonna want, but I don't even look at comparing us to anyone else, because Zion is a once-in-a-lifetime athlete. And so I love watching them play, and I love – but the comparison is just stupid. There's no seniors. There's no seniors or juniors that could have played in the NBA. If you could play in the NBA, you're in the NBA. So you're playing against competition that's not in the NBA, which is you have to play who's ahead of you, and they're killing and doing their thing. But I don't get into all those comparisons. I never compare my favorite team, UNLV, with us. And I'm not going to compare my other favorite team, the Fab Five, with other teams, you know, 30 years later that colleges changed.
I think Chris Weber makes a very, very good point. It also goes to highlight that what Kansas has been able to accomplish with keeping guys for 3 and 4 years is very, very, very rare. And I also think it goes to Chris Weber's point that Frank Mason was a great college player, drafted in the second round. Devontae Graham, great college player, drafted in the second round. Chris Weber is 100% right. The reason college basketball is down and maybe why people don't like the quality of it anymore is it is now a negative if you stay 3 years. It's a negative if you have senior day. Man, at the most, you can stay 2 years in college basketball now at this point. He's right. You don't watch juniors and seniors play anymore. You got really 8 months, maybe 2 seasons to really know your favorite players, and then the turnover process begins. That's exactly why college basketball has diminished.
I agree 100%. I mean, that's part of it. Because you're seeing the best players are gone, and you got Sfi and Frank Mason. Frank Mason, to me, was kind of a late bloomer. Great college player, but a late bloomer. He's right, and I thought his point was terrific. I mean, the reason he would take the Fab Five over some of these teams now is that they were having to play against first-round draft picks that were juniors and seniors, going against Calbert Chaney and the Big Dog and Purdue, Glenn Robinson. Having to go against Shaq, Alonzo Mourning, guys like that. Zion Williams is not going to have to go against those dudes. You know,
he just is one of those dudes.
He is one of those guys. But let's say if you've got Zion Williamson's almost equal and he's a senior, that guy's probably going to take Zion Williamson to school because he's been around for 4 years. You know, and that is one of the biggest reasons the quality of college basketball has gone down, because guys play together. And, I mean, look at KU's starting five. What, four new guys out there? What, three new guys, but multiplies? You got Grimes and Dotson, and you got Dedrick Lawson out there. I think you're running Vic and Azubuike out. So you got three new starters, but you can run five new guys out there. And it takes a while for those teams to get to play well together. And that's why, you know, in the early 90s, when you've got Bobby Hurley and Christian Laettner and Grant Hill and that crew at Duke, I mean, you've got first-round draft picks and NBA guys that have played together for 4 years. That's quality college basketball. We don't see that anymore.
But I do think, though, also maybe I guess the answer, I guess the anti-Chris Weber point is, though, I mean, I sure like to see Bobby Hurley guard some of these point guards we see now that I think maybe the older player, they were more developed and they were more seasoned player. I don't know how athletically they could keep up right now with a lot of these guys. I just think that basketball players now are just more skilled than people give them credit for, and they're also a lot more athletic. I mean, look how Quentin Grimes is. Look how athletic he is. I mean, he plays like a guy that maybe 3-4 years ago, or maybe 10 years ago, he looked like a junior or senior. Man, kids now 17, 18 years old, they're just better basketball players than they've ever been.
Yeah, I don't know. You throw that UNLV team with Larry Johnson and Anderson Hunt and Stacey Augmon and that crew. pretty damn good, man. I mean, pretty good. I mean, certainly not as advanced because of the AAU and guys are bigger, stronger, faster now because that's the way it goes. There were some great teams back then, man. Some really talented guys.
Of course. I'm just talking about, like, the sheer just quality of basketball growing up.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you this. If you put that 1988 Danny and the Miracles team up against any of these guys,
they would get smoked. They would get absolutely smoked.
They would get torched. I'm sorry, Scooter Berry and Mike Maddox aren't going to be able to hang.
That we just talk about, just basketball has just evolved. But I think to Chris Webber's point is, it is now a negative. And, I mean, it's really the NBA problem and the college basketball problem is you look at a prospect worse the more he stays in college, the more time you have to pick apart his game. That if you get a chance like Newman last year from KU, you can't come back to school. It's only a negative if you keep playing college basketball. You have to go. That's why Udoka coming back was a big deal. I wouldn't have came back to school because it's only a negative. The more you keep playing basketball in college, the more you keep accepting their education vouchers and keep doing it. You need to go to the NBA as quickly as you can. That's just the game the way it is now. Coming up in just a bit, we welcome in Chiefs Hall of Famer. He's also in the Ring of Honor, Neil Smith. And we've got a surprise for Neil. I don't think he knows yet what it is. We'll tell him coming up next. It's The Drive. Back in on The Drive. I'm really excited for this next segment. We have in studio Neil Smith. He is brought to you by the Low T Center. I'm going to start calling you Kibbles and Bits based off the last time you were in here.
Oh, you can call me what you want, brother. I'm good with that. You know, hey, I've been called everything but a child of God one time. So, you know, ain't nothing you can say that's not going to get to me.
Neil, you came in very prepared for the weather today. You got a nice little hoodie turtleneck thing going on here.
I got your gloves and stuff. I ain't got no gloves on, man. I ain't never worn no gloves. I'm like, well, yeah, I got this. I like this top, man. Green is like, you know, the end color when it start getting cool. And, man, I picked it up. It's a Sean John. You know, Sean John got some nice stuff, man. I picked it up. It was in the mall. Well, not the mall. It actually looked like a mall, but it was the airport in Atlanta.
In Atlanta, man.
So what I missed, man, I see you guys. Y'all did the Shannon Sharp this morning. Tonight, right? I see y'all pull the glasses back out, man. And y'all had your little toasters.
Some leftovers like, from beers.
That was not us. Yeah. We don't have any alcohol.
Man, I just don't understand this show, man. Why not?
We'll give it to you if you want.
I don't want it. I'm saying, like, you know, I thought you guys were celebrating something. You know, Shannon Sharp this morning, he came out and he opened it up with a bottle of Hennessy. I don't know if it was pranked or whatever, but I was like, damn, that's kind of early, but especially in L.A.
I know, very, very early for Shannon Sharp. I think he has a Hennessy deal. I follow him on Instagram. That's all he ever posts is Hennessy bottles.
I've never seen him drink, so it could be a yeah.
Yeah, I think it's probably a deal, an endorsement.
Absolutely.
Kind of like you and I with the low.
Snuck it in. But I thought y'all had a toast. I mean, it was two glasses there. Had a little brown something at the bottom.
Yeah.
It wasn't no beer, so I don't know. Somebody lying or somebody telling the truth. So I'm whatever.
Neil, we're going to do something a little bit different today. I know you like surprises.
No, not really.
The Chiefs are playing Arizona. Arizona's not good. So we're not going to really spend a whole lot of time talking to you about Arizona. Today, I was on YouTube, and I found an old Derek Thomas interview where he is talking and telling stories about you. We're going to play. Maybe you've never even heard this stuff before. That's the first time I ever seen it today.
Okay,
it could be true. We're going to play this one. This is a story about you and him were not roommates, and then you got flip-flopped, and now you became roommates, and then Marty told you it was a bad idea. This is Derek Thomas telling the story. I believe this audio is courtesy of NBC.
He told us absolutely not to be roommates, so we swapped.
Immediately became roommates?
Yeah, we became roommates. We go to practice in the morning, sleep all afternoon, be out in the streets until 5 a.m., go in, go to sleep till 7, and go to meet. Well, we had done this about 3 days. On the fourth day, we didn't wake up at 7.
Hey, DT!
He sent somebody to get us, and he had known what was going on all the time. And when practice was over, he was walking off the field. He says, Derek, says, you two are just like my sons. He says, I just want to kick y'all ass. I told y'all not to be roommates.
All right, so we heard Derek Thomas's version of that story. Can you tell us your version of this story?
Oh, that's so funny, man, because I've never heard that. I really haven't heard that story before. But, you know, Christ rose on the third day. But the fourth day, yes, we did. We went back to our own original roommate. And Chris Martin was my roommate. Okay, and Derek went back to, I don't know, I think it was Jonathan Hayes or somebody.
Yeah.
One of those guys. And it was funny because I never stayed with nobody. I mean, you know, we had our, you know, it's like In college, you have a roommate. You think once you get to the pros, you're like, you don't need a roommate.
This is a training camp.
This is a training camp, right? Yeah. So I don't know where that come from. That was way up above my head. But it was so funny because it could have been, you said it was a training camp, but it could have been where we was in Atlanta. I mean, we was in, played out a Monday night game, and it probably was one of the second worst games I ever played. Never made a play, never made a tackle or anything.
Why was that? Were you out in the streets? Out in
Miami Monday night to about 5 in the morning. That's the first thing that came to my mind, 5 o'clock in the morning. Like, what? No. I think after then, that's when I got married. Mm-hmm. That was the end of the beginning of it.
Sure.
I got married, and I said, you know what? I can't deal with this guy. This Derek Thomas kid is just not, it's not my level. I love what he's doing. I love what he did on the field, but I have to find a way to part myself. So I, you know, had, at the time I had a fiance. I said, look, anything he says after we got married, I said, you got to step up and say, no, he can't go there. He can't do this.
Yeah.
And it was so hard, but he would find his way in, how to manipulate and how to talk to, you know, my significant other and get it done. That was Derek Thomas. He had a natural something about him that it was this not on the football field, it was this great off the field too.
When you hear his voice, I mean, what do you think?
Oh, man, you know, I had a meeting with his son. He was in a meeting with me the other day. And, man, I swear, it's looked like Derek was just sitting there. He was just in this meeting. He was just like, you know, telling me what to do. And I'm looking at him, it was like, it's his kid. But it's Ari, man. You know, that guy going to be forever a part of my life and part of my heart because, you know, I want my kids. I want something like that, you know, be a part of me. And, boy, I tell you what, I can thank the Lord enough that I only have a brother. A biological brother out of 20 kids that's been with this guy have done to me and been to me in my life. And it's a joy to play with the guy. And it was a pleasure just to be knowing him and both of us to come up together, you know, as one. So it was real cool, man.
I was going to say.
And there's never two that ever did it that way. Not the way we did it, number-wise.
No, you're 100% right.
I'm talking about look at the league and you get to put the numbers in comparison. And nobody did it.
Who's the closest to you guys, do you think?
I have no idea. I still haven't gotten to the I have not gotten to who was ever close. I looked at, you know, LT and maybe.
But Tom and Justin possibly or no?
Yeah, pretty close. Yeah pretty close, you know. But not for that long period of time, yeah.
I was going to ask you, I don't know how you stayed out till 5 a.m. at River Falls, Wisconsin. That doesn't seem like a place you stay out till 5 a.m.
Yes, it
Miami
is.
Miami seems like a place you stay out till 5 a.m.
You can get in as much trouble as you
and
want.
And that was the first time I ever met Prince at his club. And I never knew he was that. Oh, so I don't have no sharp man mentality.
Did you guys go to Minneapolis then?
We went to Minneapolis.
Okay, so you didn't stay in River Falls.
We had the night off, and we were supposed to be in meetings the next day at 9 o'clock. So we had a plan. We went and we stayed and we got up and we drove back, which is a short drive. It's only like hour and a half maybe to the big cities, the Twin Cities. And then we got to meeting, but it was that's what it was, just meeting. But I remember that day. We did go out and kicked it all night. So if it was that time of year, you're right.
You say that was the first time you met Prince. You've met Prince multiple times?
Yeah, I met him again, you know, when he was performing. But but that's how you get back in because once you first meet him, when I first met Prince, Prince had maybe every pretty woman in the world that was sitting in his VIP area up above his club. He had an upstairs that would overlook the dance floor. And he had maybe like 60, 70 girls in there, just top-notch models. And we was just like, you know, guys
trying to get in.
Trying to get in. And we was like trying to wave. And these girls would just turn their back. And we was trying to get up. And like, nah, man, it's not happening. But he came out. And we was like, hey, we play with the Cheese. We was down here. We was just like, man, we love your club. We just got to get in.
That's a great line.
Not let us get in.
I got to start using that line. Hey, baby, I play for the Chiefs. Can I get in this
section? Well, that was back then when you didn't know no better. But now, I mean, these kids don't have to do. They had just pick up social media, and everybody knew who they are.
So did you talk? What's your biggest interaction with Prince then?
Well, just the fact that he kind of stunned me a little bit because when he walked up behind me.
He's a little bitty guy, too. Isn't
he? Man, he's a real short guy, man. I was like, man, I was like, couldn't talk. It was like, hey, you know, like, hey, man, I enjoy your music, man. It just really meant something to me. I mean, you know, you got everything that you got the dance moves. You know, you can hit every note. So it started coming to me. I started talking to the guy, and he's like, well, yeah, thank you, I appreciate that. I'm like, okay, that was cool. Little guy, then he came with a deep voice. Here you think Prince will be on a high note? Yeah, thanks. No, he was like, yeah, I appreciate that. You know, that really meant a lot to me. Deep voice, little guy.
Your friends versus me. and the revolution.
You see what I'm saying? You feel me?
So, hold on, dude. I actually want to ask you this. Who is the most famous person you've ever met before? Because Prince would probably be the most famous person you ever met.
That's not true.
You met somebody more famous than Prince?
Absolutely.
You got a president?
I mean, you want to do presidents or you want to do...
How
many presidents have you met?
Two. But the biggest artist I've ever met, and there's still some that's still living, is Michael Jackson.
Where'd you meet Michael Jackson at?
I met him at a concert in Houston, Texas. And look it up. April the 10th was my birthday. Back, and I don't remember what year it was. I was in Houston. It was training, and this guy walked up and said, "Hey, man, I got some downstage passes to Michael Jackson." I said, "Michael Jackson? Nobody want to go to that concert." Man, I went to this concert. It was the greatest concert I've ever been to in my life. And I went with a guy, and I was so dumbfounded because I sat there for 3 hours looking at this guy dance, reappear, disappear, and then all of a sudden I start looking next to him and think he's going to pop up next to me. I'm serious, man. And what a great show, man. And then they brought us backstage. You know, yes, brought me backstage. And, you know, Mike, you know, just, you know, normally he exits the stage and they brought us back earlier before they know he was going. And he's just passed and he shook our hand. He's like, "Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate it very much." And he was gone.
That
just
was
like
it?
That. But hands, size of my hands. I was amazed at the guy's size of his hand. And I never look at a man's size of his hand, but for a little guy, and he was not a little guy.
Yeah.
You know, maybe about buck 15. Mm-hmm. And he had huge ass hands because he shook my hand. I was amazed. So that's why I guess the glove means a lot, right?
Yeah, it does. I actually want to hear this story about you meeting presidents on the other. I'm learning so much about you. I mean, I wish every week that, you know.
Yeah. I'm the one that made President Clinton try to bring taxes down. That's what I said to him.
We got you to thank for that.
I told him. I said, Brother Clinton, how you doing? He's like, yeah, it was nice to meet you. I said, hey.
Wait, you said Brother Clinton?
I said, Brother Clinton. You know, okay. He's like a brother, right?
Okay.
He's our brother from another mother. He's just like, you know, gotcha. You know, he can be,
he plays
the sax, bro.
I just didn't know that if you could call a president brother.
I did. Okay. I said president first, and then I said brother afterwards.
Oh, got it.
You know, out of due respect.
Sure.
And, you know, he's, he had said, he's like, hey, you know, I love you guys, man. You know, this is great. He's like, but I'm like, hey, can you do something about these taxes? And he looked at me and said, I think I might do that. I think I might, you know, I could do something about that. And I looked at him and like, gave him that finger. He's like, gotcha. Now, did he do anything? I have no idea. It was the in and out. But I was almost at the end of my career, you know, when I won the first Super Bowl. It was, you know, in and out type of situation.
That is Neil Smith. He is brought to you by the Low T Center. We actually have more from that Derek Thomas interview. Hopefully that triggers your memory for some more great stories.
Oh, wow.
Having a lot of fun here, Neil Smith. He is brought to you by the Low T Center.
Hey, man,
keep it locked in.
Over here, man?
It's The Drive.
Why don't you purify yourself in the waters of Lake Minnetonka?
We're having a lot of fun with our guy, Neil Smith. He is brought to you by the Low T Center. We found an interview, courtesy of NBC, back in the day with Derek Thomas talking to Leslie Visser. He is actually talking about Neil Smith. So we decided to play the interview for Neil Smith. We played one cut. You guys were roommates back in the day. You were out till 5 a.m. in Miami, cutting a rug, letting loose. And then you play terribly the next day. That lets you know, get your sleep and women weaken legs. That's
absolutely
what I learned.
Absolutely, brother. Every time they change the time, I'm going to sleep early, man. I think I might have went to sleep probably 8 o'clock last night. I hate the time change.
Mark Wahlberg goes to sleep at 6:30 every night. You know that?
Well, I mean,
goes to bed at 6:30.
I mean, if he wakes up and doing a morning show or something like that early in the morning, yeah, I can understand. But, man, I fell asleep watching television, and I just like it was. That's just there. I was stuck there for the next morning.
You didn't even get up and go to bed.
Didn't go to bed.
Yeah,
was I that tired or what? I don't know. Yeah. It happens, you know.
I want to play this for you. This is Derek Thomas talking about you as a player.
Did he trash talk during the Denver game?
He did. He did.
Don't be eyeing me.
You know, I've always known that the guy was a dirty guy. You know, I can remember vividly he's stepping on people's hands on national television. So he's a dirty football player.
Neil, you're telling me you were out here stepping on guys' hands back in the day?
The camera's going to catch me.
There's video evidence. There's a guy for the Chargers.
Hey, you know what? To my defense, I'm getting beat up here. To my defense, the guy's hand was down there at the time I was walking, and I didn't mean to step on his hand. It was just there.
Sure.
The cameras caught it.
Yeah.
But they never catch what the dirty things that they do mean.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Like, They do a lot of dirty stuff to me.
Like,
yeah.
Like what?
Did
what,
I talk a lot of crap? Absolutely. From the time the whistle blow, that made me go. And I'm gonna say something. And like I told you, I knew everything about you. I knew where you was born at, what your sister's name. Your grandma, I did everything. I mean, any advantage what? That I had. But if you never talked to me, I never said anything. But you say something to me, and then it's on, and I'm not gonna stop.
What's the dirtiest thing that was ever done to you in a game?
Oh, you know, grabbing my business. I mean, that's what they did.
They grabbed your business.
Yeah, trying to hit you. I'll stick your finger in the eye.
Yeah.
I started wearing a shield at one time because somebody poked me in the eye up under the, you know, just didn't know, just give me
did
just
you,
like.
Did you ever grab somebody's business that grabbed your business?
No, man, I wouldn't. Nah, that I didn't do, never. I mean, I played against Oakland one time, and I was playing a wing for the field goal team. And you know how the wing man is just like the last guy on the end is trying to just keep the little guy.
Yeah.
Well, I'm trying to come through. The guy just came up with his knee, like, right to my groin. And I got a football picture to show it. It's like, this is really giving you the business. But that's what they do. This is football. I mean, ain't nobody going to sit around and cry about it. Now, things that were done to me, I never took it lightly. And I did do little tricks and trades or whatever was to my advantage. I took advantage of it. I started to flinch because I thought the flinch was something that we needed. It was a key. I only did it when it was third and short. If you never got the third and short, then I would have never did it. Third and short is third and one. Third and five to 8 to 10, that's long for us. You know, that's harder to pick up in Arrowhead or and back in our days. And I thought it was an advantage, but they do it away with it. So, you know, cheating is cheating. I guess you only cheating unless you're trying. I was probably trying back then. I was trying.
I got one more cut to play for you. This is Derek Thomas talking about you eventually going to the Broncos, and he says that he thinks you were eventually going to come back and play for the Chiefs.
Absolutely.
Did you ever consider or could you have taken less money in order to keep him here?
It wasn't that I took too much money. There's no such thing as one player taking too much money. You know, the situation could have been resolved. It didn't work. So he took a sabbatical and left home for a year, and now he'll come back next year, and we'll live happily ever after. So,
oh, do you really think he'll be back in a Kansas City Chief uniform?
There's no doubt in my mind.
So, Derek had a plan.
So, at the end of your career, did you ever consider coming back?
Because, absolutely.
Because you went to Denver, and then you played those years. You talk about Rodney Harrison kind of saying that you guys, that he needed you in San Diego. Did you ever think about
Junior Seau.
Junior Seau, my bad.
Yes, sir.
Did you ever think about coming back to play for Kansas City?
Absolutely,
I did.
I wanted to come back. I actually talked to him. You know, after I left and was considering not playing again, on my way out, I said, well, you know what? It should be nice. It should be nice to come back to Kansas City and play. And Coach Dick Vermeer, at the time, was the head coach. And, you know, of course, Carl was still here. And then they had Greg, which was my defense coordinator. Mm-hmm. Robinson was the defensive the coordinator here, and I called him. I said, hey, you know, coach, I would love to do, you know, if it's anything possible, I would love to come back and play for the Chiefs, for a few years of my career. It would just make everything for. He said, well, you know, and Coach Dick Vermeil said, and it's just his word. He said, I have to take it up, you know, with my coaching staff and then the head, and then I will get back to you. Out of guard, when you hear that, you said, okay. That's a chance, and maybe it's not a chance. But Dick Vermeil was very straight, and I respect him. I don't know him that well as a coach. I love what he did. You know, he was a great coach, and he came back and said, you know what? I tipped it up and he said, you know, we're just gonna pass on that situation. And then I knew then I'm like, okay, cool. You know, I can respect that. And I was then I started picking like, where did it go wrong?
Yeah,
was it Greg Robinson? You know, was it Carl?
Did you ever find out?
No.
Yeah.
You know. This is what it happens like that, but I just let it go.
Before we get you out of here, you just said something to us in break that really got my attention. Because the Chiefs are playing the Rams in Mexico City next week.
Yes.
You said, did you play in Mexico City? Or
yes, not? We did. We played in Mexico City. Okay, you know, back then you traveled a lot and we had a lot of things going.
But instead of the game, you said you went to a bullfight. Were you fighting the bulls? Were you in the ring?
Oh, yeah, I did bullfighting. Absolutely. You know, I went to bullfighting. And they say, hey, if anybody want to come on, take on a bull, be free to come on in. And I'm looking at myself, and then I kind of looked over, you know, to my wife. And she's like, go ahead, because I know your ass is going to do it anyway. She said, but I got insurance taken out. Go ahead. So I went in, said, cool, I'm going to do it. And they let me in.
Is this like the night before the game, a couple days before the game?
Yeah.
What?
I went so like I it jumped was, in Mexico. I jumped in. I'm like, who wouldn't do that? It's like and
I
got in
that,
there.
Neil, I'm not doing that.
Okay, so they gave me a deal. I know how to ole. I'm looking at it, I'm seeing it, right? And so like I jumped in and I had the cape and I was like, oh God, what the hell did I do now? And I'm saying to myself, it's like, why did you get yourself in this situation? So they let out the music started playing, it gets you all hyped up, and I'm like, oh God, now my heart is beating out my ass. I'm like, boom, 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 boom. And I'm looking at the chute and they let a bull out. But it was a young bull, and it was young. So he was like huffing and puffing. He was like scratching. I'm like, all right, here you go over here, buddy. I helped these long arms out, and like, come on, dude. He passed one time, ole. Everybody got like, cool. And I turn around. He was right up on me again. I'm like, ole. I'm like, okay. The third time he came through, I threw the blanket on over his head, and I exit stage right. One hop over the fence, baby. Never to be seen again. True story. Look it up. Not lying. I can't make this stuff up, man. Yeah.
Met presidents, met prince, and you bullfight.
Oh, yeah. Neil, I'm the Black Daniel Boone of all trades, baby.
Neil, I actually want to get you out of here on this. You're brought to you by the Low T Center. What is it like playing up against a team that you know realistically cannot beat you?
There's no such thing. You know, for this week, I know we've been all over the place as far as having fun. But I have to say, you know what, I think the Chiefs is in a great position right now to not only, you know, win the division and outright win the AFC championship to get to the Super Bowl. I think that now they just need to be more key focus of each week, the hand attached. You know, it's just a few games you might give up here or take in there. But I don't think that they should go in and take this team very lightly. Everybody is respected around the league for what they do. If they do that, then, you know, they'll get beat, as you know. But I can't see this happening. No one can. But you know what? There's always this thing that's called, you know, the point spread and wins and losses. If you just think you're in college, you could just roll up there and throw your helmet on the field and I get beat. This is the wrong sport. And I think everybody's over there, you know, at One Arrowhead Drive knows this. And I'm sure they're not going to allow that to happen. But, you know, you can outget played sometimes. You know, somebody can just have a great defensive game, a great scheme against you. And you can turn the football over at the wrong time or perhaps, you know, get beat on special teams, and it can happen. So it's just really nothing you can do. But, you know, the task at hand is what the game is played. You play the game the way you play as you've been playing this year. I don't think it should be a problem. And the big thing is the keys is not getting people getting hurt. You know what I'm saying?
No, that's
but that's going to happen. That's football.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly where I'm at in this game. That the number one thing to come from this is, I would say two things. Just get a win any way you got to do it and keep everybody healthy because you got way more important games coming up down the stretch.
Yep, that's what it is, a stretch, brother. It's how you play at the stretch at the end of it when it's all over and said and done that. That's going to get you to the dance, and then anything can happen at the dance.
That is our guy, Neil Smith. He is brought to you by the Low T Center. Neil, man, it was a lot of fun today.
Oh, thank you, fellas. I appreciate it. Stay off of that internet, man. You guys finding stuff up. Well, y'all make
we'll
me
cook,
happy sometimes.
We'll cook some good stuff up for you next week.
That's
man.
Pretty good.
Next
you
week.
You might want to look up that bullfighting.
I'll look it up. I don't.
You know, last week was dog food kibbles and bits over here. You try some dog food yet?
No, I'm not doing it, man.
He definitely bought in a little.
That's fake news.
A little snack earlier today.
I bet he did.
That is our guy, Neil Smith. He is brought to you by the Low T Center. Always good to catch up with the Chiefs Hall of Famer, and he is in the Chiefs Ring of Honor. Coming up in just a bit, Arrowhead Pride brings up, why can't Breland Speaks turn into D Ford? It's an interesting question. We'll answer coming up. It's The Drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.